This is a Cattle Cast Extra.
Our next guest is Joe Grimm, a Michigan State University journalism professor and veteran of the Detroit Free Press. He's also written and co-written nonfiction, including Coney Island and Windjammers, Songs of the Great Lakes Sailors. His latest work, The Faygo Book, tells the story of Detroit's beloved soda pop and how it has remained the last bottler standing in Pop Alley, thanks to its pioneering techniques, rambunctious rainbow of flavors, and a fiercely loyal community. Joe, welcome to CattleCast.
Thank you, Mark.
So what made you want to write the Faygo book?
I think it was the Coney book. It made me incredibly thirsty. I've been a lifelong Detroiter, and I love so many things about Detroit and Michigan. Seeing how much people love the Coney book, how good it made them feel about Detroit, I wanted to do something similar. I was surprised that no one had yet done a Faygo book. So I began talking about that.
Faygo's been around forever, it feels like. And through recessions and the Great Depression, wartime, and more, Faygo prospered. What do you attribute the company's success to?
Well, the Faygo book explains that the company started in 1907 in the middle of a global recession, near the beginning of it, and they made it through that time. Faygo faced a lot of other challenges. Some of the big ones were sugar rationing, World War I, World War II, diet fads and crazes that made them go with less sugar, and then artificial sweeteners that nobody wanted around anymore. The bottle bill in Michigan was a huge challenge for them, but I think the thing that made Faygo survive was in the early years, they were in a city that was rapidly growing in population that carried them along through those early startup years, and they were just very innovative with their own chemists and engineers in the factory so they could adjust their flavors on the fly and get them out to the stores right away. And the other thing was Faygo was never a one-flavor pop. Mm-hmm. It's always, from its beginning, offered a multiple of flavors, and so they found some that stuck and some that disappeared.
Well, how do you think Detroit has shaped Faygo, and in turn, how has Faygo shaped Detroit?
Well, they've had a very close connection, and I think that created some of this loyalty that you see. Faygo started on the Near East Side of Detroit in the Jewish enclave near where Black Bottom and Paradise Valley were later created because African Americans were prevented by deed restrictions from living anywhere else. And Faygo, to this day, still is within a few thousand feet of where it started. It's moved factories a couple times, but it has never left the neighborhood, and the neighborhood never left Faygo. And I think people appreciate the loyalty of Faygo, not just as workers, but also as Faygo lovers. And we have seen Werner's go away, Vlasic Pickles go away, Hudson's go away, the Pistons left, the Lions left. Everybody seemed to be going, but Faygo kept on making pop.
What is the most interesting thing you learned when writing the Faygo book?
Gosh, there were so many. And there are so many great stories in the Faygo book. They come from Susie Fagenson, who was granddaughter of one of the founders. Some of them were big things and some of them were small things. One of the things that I thought was fascinating was that before there was a Kermit the Frog, puppeteer Jim Henson was making Faygo commercials with puppets that sort of evolved into what Kermit became.
Is that right?
I thought that was something I had certainly never heard of before.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. When you're doing your research, do you find that there are still so many people who have a Faygo story or Faygo memory, or do you encounter people who have never heard of it before?
Great question, Mark. I've been going out to libraries and talking about the Faygo book, and every night in the library, it ends with people coming forward and saying, I used to be a jumper for Faygo, jumping off the trucks to take the pop into the stores. I grew up with Faygo. One woman said she had a friend who had five or six kids, and every Sunday after church, they would come home from church, and at lunchtime, the mom would just tear open a bag of potato chips on the kitchen table, put out glasses of rock and rye, and leave the room. And that was lunch. So every time I go someplace, I meet somebody with a story. In fact, last night, I met a woman who was a great-granddaughter of one of the founders. I did not know about her.
As you're writing this, what works of nonfiction have influenced you as a writer?
Well, I love to read different kinds of stuff. As a newspaper editor, of course, I'm reading news all the time and editing it a lot. And editing will teach you a lot about writing. I did learn that the best way to become a better writer is to read fiction and nonfiction and some books on craft. I like nonfiction. I'm more comfortable in nonfiction. I I'm intimidated by the thought of writing a piece of fiction. I do like to read fiction, but for nonfiction, I love to read Michigan and Great Lakes history. I really got a lot out of the huge biography of John Adams and how that story could be told essentially from letters and notes. I felt as though he'd been interviewed for the book. But of course, that was impossible. And for the Faygo book, I tried to use a lot of material from news accounts. I didn't have anything from the Faygo company or personal notes, very few of those. But I did read a lot of contemporary accounts and try to put those together into what became a pretty interesting story.
And before we started here, we were talking about the old Faygo commercials.
Oh, yes.
Right? Who are some of the people who did some of those?
Well, this was probably influential. I grew up in the 60s when Faygo was killing it with animated commercials and then celebrity commercials. The earliest stars in Faygo's TV commercials were Herkimer Bottleneck, who became too pooped to participate and had to have a slug of Uptown so that he could be up, up, up with Uptown. Another famous early person, of course, was the Faygo Kid. Which way did he go? Which way did he go? He went for Faygo! And, of course, he threw Black Bart into jail for trying to steal the old-fashioned root beer. And then we had celebrities like the great Gildersleeve, who transitioned from radio to TV. There's a picture of him in the book, as well as pictures of Soupy Sales. W.C. Fields, who was a voice impersonator, represented him. And the same with Laurel and Hardy. We had Alex Karras in commercials for Red Pop. We had Tommy Hitman Hearns, the Motor City Hitman. Man in there pushing punch. When Faygo got the idea it could become a national brand, it started to spend money on celebrity commercials. Joan Rivers was another one. Not inexpensive to run these national ads. Eventually, Faygo had to decide between being loyal to that East Side neighborhood and reaching its destiny of becoming a national soda pop company, which might have taken it right out of Detroit. And of course, we know that Faygo is still in Detroit. And the book explains the kind of unusual thing that happened that made Faygo decide it was going to stick with Detroit and Michigan.
All right, last question here. What are your favorite and least favorite Faygo flavors and why?
Well, I have a number of favorites. I'd say my favorite is Rock and Rye. I had one last night. I have a Diet Rock and Rye, which is pretty good, in the refrigerator at home. Red Pop is right up there. That's a very popular flavor. We just had a Sweet 16 where we asked people on Facebook to pick among 16 flavors, and we bracketed them, and it came down to a showdown between Rock and Rye and Red Pop, and Rock and Rye won. Faygo has won awards for its orange and for its root beer. I like grape. I kind of could go on, I guess. The flavor I've had that I didn't really care for that much was probably cotton candy. Although one person told me that she likes cotton candy because it doesn't get all over your face like the real thing. And I talked to a person yesterday who said, I love cotton candy and candy apple, which came out about the same time.
Remember Frosh? That was the one I...
Frosh? That's Frosh. What they used W.C. Fields' voice for, because they were trying to pitch to adults, and they thought W.C. Fields is a great pitch man for adults, and he said that any pop that's not good for children can't be all bad.
Joe, this has really been interesting, and I can't wait to read the book myself. The Faygo book is available now, will be available at Cattle Branches. You can visit cattle.org to get your copy. Joe, thanks so much for joining us on CattleCast.
Everybody ready?
Remember when you are a kid.
It's an exciting time for Capital Area District Libraries. They're celebrating 20 years of service in Ingham County. I'm here with Human Resources Director Julie Laxton talking about how Cattle is giving back to the community.
That's right, Stephanie. Through an initiative called Cattle Cares, our libraries have collected backpacks and toys for kids in need, personal hygiene products for women in shelters and homeless veterans, and signed up people for the Michigan-Oregon Donor Registry.
That's great to hear, Julie. Cattle really does care about making a difference in our community. What other things are you doing?
Cattle Staff raises money for the Capital Area Literacy Coalition through the Casual for a Cause initiative and participates in community events like Recycle-Rama and Capital City River Run.
So how can our listeners find out more about Cattle Cares as well as employment opportunities?
Just visit our website at cattle.org or any cattle location.
All right, sounds good. That's Julie Laxton, Human Resources Director from Capital Area District Libraries. They are celebrating 20 years of service in Ingham County.